We're up to Likutei Moran Tanina, Torah Kuf Tes Vav. In our Likutei Moran, it's page 99, in the second half, and the left-hand column, about a quarter of the way down the page. Rav Nosson Zal writes, Siper, Rabbeinu Zal told over, Shehoyoloi Hizchaskus Godol Bavoidosoi, that he used to be mechazik himself very, very much when it came to serving Hashem. He used to give himself pep talks, in a sense, and self-confidence. He didn't allow himself at all to get confused or mixed up or nervous in any wrong kind of way. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to explain soon exactly what this is referring to. Here he's talking about how stable Rabbeinu Zal was in terms of his climbing and coming close to Hashem. He was very stable and very persistent. It's not that he changed. One day he decided to learn this, and tomorrow he'll learn that, and back and forth jumping around. But rather he was very consistent, as we'll see in a minute. V'darkoi hoyo, Rav Nosson Zal explains that Rabbeinu Zal's derech was, shehoyo boirer lo eize derech yeshoro, that he would choose for himself a certain path, eich lehisnai b'avodas Hashem, how to conduct himself in terms of religion, meaning, let's say, for example, he would plan out a schedule for himself based on where he felt he was holding and how much knowledge he had and what he wanted to learn. He would plan out a schedule for himself and he would decide that at this point in time, I'm going to set aside 10 hours of a day for learning, 3 hours for tefillah, 2 hours for this. Notice he would make set amount or set quantities that he wanted to accomplish. And Rabbeinu Zal began conducting himself, following through on what he decided, and going on the path that he had chosen to go on. And he would follow through on this for a period of time, a couple of months, at least a couple of weeks, whatever it is, a certain substantial amount of time. And no matter what kind of thoughts would enter in his mind to try to get him to change what he was doing, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that now, all of that kind of thinking, and to do something different, he would disregard those thoughts completely. He would ignore it completely. He would push out these thoughts from his mind. He wouldn't allow them to have any place in his mind, in his thinking whatsoever. Rather, Rabbeinu Zal was very solid and very locked in his mind that whatever he decided to do, he's going to do it, he's going to follow through on it, and not play hop and skip and jump, one day I'll do this, tomorrow I'll do that, that kind of different kind of, where people who are confused, or people who aren't that serious in a sense, and as a result they go through unstable patterns, where today decides he's going to learn Gemara, tomorrow I can't learn Gemara, I'm going to try Chumash, the next day maybe let me go back to Gemara. That kind of jumping around, he tried to maintain a tremendous stable methodology within his coming close to Hashem. And he would follow through on whatever path he had chosen for a substantial period of time. However, after that, once a period of time went by, let's say after many weeks, after 10 weeks, 20 weeks, whatever it is, at that point in time, Rabbeinu Zal would come to a conclusion that he should be doing something else. It's time to do something different. Once a long period of time had gone by, he would think it over very, very well. And he would choose for himself a new path now, based on his understanding at this point in time. But But he didn't allow himself to jump around and to walk around in a state of confusion, constantly not sure, should I be doing this, should I be doing that, maybe now I'll change to this. He didn't do that bouncing around. But rather he would be very firm and very serious about sticking to one path for a substantial period of time. Baruch Hashem. Now this item is being told to us for a reason, because here again, Rabbeinu Zal was considered to be unique even among the tzaddikim. There are tzaddikim who, they do mitzvahs, they learn Torah, they do other things, but they're basically trying to maintain a status quo in a sense. In other words, trying to stick to a certain level that they feel they've reached and stay like that for the rest of their lives, not get any worse or not fall away from that. Rabbeinu Zal said about himself that his derech was constant hischatshus. He was constantly telling himself that he was not satisfied with how far he had gotten, and that if Hashem is infinite, automatically that means the Torah is infinite also, and Judaism is infinite. So I can never say that, boy, I've gotten to a point where now I'm 99% there. It's baloney. Wherever I get to, I'm 0% there, in a sense. Because compared to Hashem, compared to the greatness of Hashem, or compared to the size of the Torah, even if I learn 500 pages, I haven't made the slightest dent in it. I still have tons and tons more to learn. And even if I finish the entire Chumash, it's understood if I go back and learn it again, I'm going to see brand new things. I'm going to penetrate deeper and deeper and deeper, ad ein soif, till infinity, meaning there's no such thing as stopping. So Rabbeinu Zal said that his derech was constantly to seek new heights and new levels, climbing higher and higher and higher, never being satisfied. Which means that in a sense, Rabbeinu Zal was like a Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva is one who comes to a realization at a certain point in time that he's got a long way to go and he's very far and he let a lot of time go by that he possibly could have used to establish a foundation in knowledge of religion and mitzvahs and other things, and now he's got a lot of catching up to do, number one, plus he's got a long way to go. What happens is, if a person is familiar with what Baalei Tshuva go through, many times one of the tricks that the Satan uses to mess up a Baal Tshuva is he makes the person unstable. He puts bilbulim into the person's mind where the person at one point decides that he's going to set a certain schedule for himself and start serving Hashem with certain moderation or on a certain path. So many minutes of learning, so many minutes of davening, so many minutes of play, so many minutes of this, whatever it is. And then if the person would stick to that for 2-3 months straight, there's no question at all that the person would see themselves advancing and progressing, and the person would get satisfaction and self-confidence, and the person would be able to climb. After 3 months, he would be able to go to the next level, and so on and so forth, and the person would be succeeding as a Baal Tshuva. What does the Satan do? The Satan comes to that he doesn't want that to happen. So many times, one of the tricks that he uses is he tries to be mevalvel the person in the form as a religious person. The Satan comes, you're learning Chumash, it's great, it's wonderful, but maybe you should be learning Halacha. And when the person's learning Halacha, maybe you should be learning Gemara now. Whatever the person's doing, he doesn't allow the person to stick to, he doesn't allow the person to be consistent enough and stable enough where the person would be getting results and the person would be getting on, moving along higher and higher in Avodas Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal warns us here against this, that a person should be alert to the fact that this is one of the things that the Satan tries to do to a person who wants to advance in Avodas Hashem, and therefore, don't let this happen to you. Don't make this mistake. See to it that in terms of your own path of Avodas Hashem, pick a certain path and stick to it at least for a certain period of time, at which point you decide either I made a mistake, I tried this for a few days, I see clearly, I tried it for a substantial period of time and I see it's not for me, I see this is way above my level or way below my level and I have to change and adjust to something that's right for me. And once you find something that does seem right for you, stick to it, follow through on it, until you get to an end within that level, until you're ready to go to the next level up. Period. Baruch Hashem. Torah Kuf Tes Zayin. Rab Nosson Zal says, Siper, Rabbeinu Zal told over, Shekishehoyo Beretz Yisrael, that when he was zeichet to be in Eretz Yisrael, we know that one of the outstanding events in Rabbeinu Zal's life was his pilgrimage to Eretz Yisrael. In those days, it wasn't like today. We can get on a plane in New York, and 9 3/4 hours later, after a very comfortable flight with a choice of menu for the meal and all kinds of luxuries and everything, person touches down in Eretz Yisrael. In those days, a trip to Eretz Yisrael was a matter of weeks or months out at sea, and there was sakon involved, there was milchamas going on, there was all kinds of danger and peril, and at that time Rabbeinu Zal was zeichet to make a trip to Eretz Yisrael. And he stayed there a certain period of time, approximately a half a year or so, and then Rabbeinu Zal returned home. So Rav Nosson Zal writes that Rabbeinu Zal said that when he was in Eretz Yisrael, Sipru lo shom hachashuvim shehayu shom, some of the very important people that were in Eretz Yisrael at the time told Rabbeinu Zal, Shebo mebedinois elu, that they had come also from Chutz Loretz, from these countries, Poland, Russia, the European countries that they were from, the Kohu dirosam shom beretz Yisrael kemafursam, and they had established their residence in Eretz Yisrael, as is well known. We know that there was a whole major aliyah of a whole group of Talmidei Baal Shem Tov that made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael at that time. The Sipruloi, and they told him, Rabbeinu Zal said, these people told me, Shekoidim Shehoyu Beretz Yisrael, that before they had arrived in the land of Israel, Loihoyu Yecholin Letzayer Liatzmon Sheretz Yisrael Hiyoimed Es Bozeh Oilam. They couldn't imagine that it's possible for Eretz Yisrael to be in this world, on this earth. Why? They thought Eretz Yisrael is like another planet, a different planet completely. According to how much is written in the Chumash and in the Gemara and in all the Sforim and the Sifrei Kabbalah about the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't imagine that this thing is within the physical world. They had a feeling like this thing must be some way, way, far, far removed thing that doesn't resemble anything physical at all whatsoever. And we find that the Torah itself spends many sentences describing the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael according to how holy Eretz Yisrael is and how spectacular and awesome. Al came therefore, these tzaddikim couldn't picture, they couldn't imagine that Eretz Yisrael could possibly be in this world. Because they figured according to how much is written about it in the Torah, it's like Olam Haba. In other words, that's the only thing you could imagine it like. It can't be possibly another continent or another country within this physical world. Ad asher bo l'shom, until they arrived there, these tzaddikim also made this trip to Eretz Yisrael. They actually moved to Eretz Yisrael. V'ro, and then they saw with their own eyes, Sheretz Yisrael hi bozeh ho'olam mamish. They got to see that Eretz Yisrael definitely is in this physical world. Ki be'emes, because Rabbeinu Zal says, the fact is, Eretz Yisrael, who kemoim medinois elu mamish. Eretz Yisrael is exactly the same as our countries, as Russia, Poland, Europe, America, all these other countries. Eretz Yisrael is exactly the same. The afar Eretz Yisrael, who bemare udmus kemoi afar medinois elu mamish. And the dirt of Eretz Yisrael is also similar and exactly the same as dirt in other countries throughout the world. Because this that we find, sometimes a person comes from Eretz Yisrael and he brings with him a bag of dirt from Eretz Yisrael, this white, special white kind of sand. That's only in certain special places. A person goes certain special cities within Eretz Yisrael and within the city right near a beach that you could find this sand that looks a little bit different. V'gam b'medina zu nimtza ofer lovon v'ofer shel neser b'kama mekoymos. Rabbi Nizal says, in our country also, in Russia also, if you go to certain places, you'll find that there's white types of sand and other things like that. So therefore, in terms of the dirt and in terms of the colors and that stuff, it's pretty much the same as what you're going to find in other places. Aval ikar ha'ofer b'Eretz Yisrael hu k'moy afar medinos elu mamish. But the usual dirt of Eretz Yisrael is very similar and comparable to the dirt of any other countries. Ki be'emes, because the truth is, and the fact is, that bidmus utmuna ein chiluk klal bein Eretz Yisrael vein shar medinos lahavdil. There's no difference whatsoever between Eretz Yisrael and other countries, lahavdil. In terms of how it physically looks, how it physically appears, it's just the same as other countries. The afal pikein, and still, he kedoisha ma'oid ma'oid betachlis hakdusha atzumo v'noiro ma'oid. Eretz Yisrael is very, very holy, to the epitome of holiness, awesome, wondrous, spectacular. Ashrei hazeche lahalich shom afilu dalet ames. And fortunate is the person who zeichet to walk in Eretz Yisrael even four steps in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara itself says that a Jew that zeichet to walk four steps in Eretz Yisrael is guaranteed that they're a ben olam haba. Kasher hifligu razal, as the Gemara says at the end of Ksubas, v'chol hasforim, and many, many other sforim that write, be'oitzen kedushoso hagadoylo v'anayro, about the awesome, great, wondrous holiness of Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Nizal is pointing out that physically, don't go looking for any physical differences that are going to show you that this country is unique and special. Baloney. Physically, it's the same as any other country. If you find buildings here that look a little bit different, it would be just as possible for an architect or a designer to design the same buildings in some other city, in Houston, Texas, or wherever it is. No problem. And yet, in terms of Ruchnius, in a spiritual sense, Eretz Yisrael is completely, completely different from anything else in the entire world. And this is a very important point that Rabbeinu Zal is making. And Rabbi Nosson Zal elaborates now, V'siper Rabbeinu Zal zois, Rabbeinu Zal told this over, ki hu inyan nitzrach ma'oid lekamo inyonim shebnei otom nevuchim bohem b'teusim. Because this information that we just gave, this introduction, is very, very necessary for a lot of people who make a very serious mistake. Ki yesh toyim, there are people that make a mistake, seivrim, they think, shetzrichim lahakir es hatzadik oishar dovor shebikdusha lahakiroi befono betzalmo yudemusoi. They think that you have to, when a person sees a tzaddik or something else that's different in terms of holiness, it's a much higher level of holiness than something else, they think you have to be able to notice a physical difference. It has to look different. That a tzaddik has to look much different than a regular other person. Or if we're talking about a place, a certain location of Kiddusha, they think also that this place must look very, very different from any other place. They think that the tzaddik has to appear differently, look differently, and he has to walk differently and give a completely different appearance than an ordinary person. But the fact is, and the truth is, that's not true. Ki hatzadik hu bidmus v'tzelem kechol hu anoshim. The tzadik physically looks like exactly the same as another human being. Ve'ein boi shum shinui. And there is no difference whatsoever physically in terms of the tzadik versus a person that's not a tzadik. Ve'afal pikein hu inyan acher legamri. And still, even though physically he looks the same, still he's a completely, completely different thing. 100% different. V'sharei b'nei yodom einon b'demusei klal b'emes lamitoi. And other people do not resemble the tzaddik whatsoever. Period. K'moishom Rabbeinu Zal, as Rabbeinu Zal said, she'ish ha'kosher nitme shehoile im karkashois v'dakin k'moishar b'nei yodom. Rabbeinu Zal once said that if you see a religious person walking through the street, it looks like he's walking around carrying bundles and other things, just like anybody else that's walking through the street carrying their packages. But still, we know that the person that's religious, the person that's zeichet to learn Torah and follow its mitzvahs and to lead a religious life, he's 1,000,000,000% different from a person that's non-observant. If a person was standing up on a porch, on a balcony, and looking down at a street, at Rehov Yafo, let's say, and watching hundreds, thousands of people walking back and forth, all of them carrying bags and packages, is that some of them religious, some irreligious, some of them observe Torah mitzvah, some don't, looking at it, just looking at the mass, it looks basically the same. People wearing pants and shirts and socks and shoes, and carrying bags and scurrying back and forth. And yet we know that the religious person, if he's truly religious, does not resemble whatsoever a person that's not religious. V'chein Eretz Yisrael be'emes himuvdeles umufreshes legamri mishar arotzois b'chol inyoneho b'chinoiseho. So too, Rav Nelson Zal writes, Eretz Yisrael is 100% completely different from other countries in every single respect, 100,000,000,000% different. The Omer Rabbeinu Zal, period. So on one hand, we're saying that it looks exactly the same, and in terms of going by physical appearances, no difference whatsoever. And any difference that you think you see, it's baloney, because you could find similar sand in another place. That's not the issue whatsoever. And yet, even though physically you could not necessarily tell it apart from something else, still the truth is, we know that it's a different world completely from any other country in the world. And so too the difference between a tzaddik and an ordinary person, or a religious person and l'havdil a non-religious person. The Omer Rabbeinu Zal made one comment, She'eretz Yisrael yeshlo rikia acher mishar arotzes. One difference is true, the fact that there's ukamuvan b'zohar HaKodesh, as is mentioned in the Zohar HaKodesh, that Eretz Yisrael, the sky of Eretz Yisrael, is definitely different from the sky as it appears in any other country. A certain richness, a certain rich blueness that's found in the sky of Eretz Yisrael, that's not to be found in other countries. The Zohar HaKodesh does say that there is a difference there. Ach afal pikein, but still, begashmias, physically, lefi mare einei odom, according to what the human eye sees, ein royin shum shinoi ben Eretz Yisrael l'shar arotzos. You will not see any difference at all whatsoever between Eretz Yisrael and other countries. Ki im mi shezoiche lahamen b'kedushosa, except for a person who is zoiche to believe in the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, yochoi lahavchin k'tzas ha-hefresh. Such a person will be able to detect a little bit of a difference. Kemoikein hatzadik vohanoshim ksherim leerech shar hoylam. So too, regarding the tzadik and religious people versus the rest of the world. Shebeemes heim doimim bechol tenuay seim kishar b'nei odam. The fact is that they are very, very similar, identical to other people in the world, in the way they look and in all their movements, b'demusam v'tzalmam, in their form and everything, v'ein b'neim hefrish b'gashmias l'chol mari eini bosar, and physically you will not necessarily be able to detect any difference at all between them and other people. The afal pikein, but still, b'emes l'amitoi, the truth, the real truth is, anu ma'aminim, that we believe 100%. Shehem mufroshim umuvdolim legamri, that these righteous people are 100% different from people that aren't righteous people. Ki ish kosher hu inyan acher legamri kanal, because a truly religious person is 1,000,000,000% different from what people say, normal people, people that are not religious, chas v'shalom. Ma kol shkein ha-tzadikim ha-mitiyim. How much more so the true tzadikim, they certainly are billions of times different from ordinary people. The inyan ze nitzrach lekamo inyonim. Rav Nosanzal writes, this is something that a person needs very much to be aware of regarding many different items in religion. V'hovein ze ma'oid. And understand this very, very well. Baruch Hashem. Because this applies to a Jew. We know that each and every single Jew has a responsibility to seek out Kiddusha in this world, to seek out holiness in this world. Now, if a person is living, if a person has the misfortune of living in some country in Chutzlar, it's in Canada, in America, in Argentina, wherever it is, and a person is seeking out Kiddush over there, and they go to a shul there, they do mitzvahs, they learn Torah, there's no question at all that the shul is a place of Kiddusha. It's a place where the Shekhinah is present, and it's to be treated with respect, etc. At the same time, the person cannot fool themselves into thinking that this is the center of holiness in the world. We know that the Torah has said very clearly that the center for Kiddusha in the world, the place where Hashem's presence can be most seen and felt in the entire universe, is the land of Eretz Yisrael. No question about it. And if a person says, well, I don't see it that way, then simply open your eyes, or ask Hashem to open your eyes. If you don't see it, the implication is that your eyes are lacking, because the fact is that it is different. Now, this difference is not necessarily something that will reflect itself in physical form, where you'll come to Eretz Yisrael and you'll see things that look totally, totally different from other places. Not necessarily. Here they have buses, there they have buses, cars, cars, ice cream, potholes, potholes, all the different things that you could see in another place that you can see here also. And yet, we know that it's 1,000,000,000% different. And as Rabbeinu Zal says here, if a Jew will be zeichet to believe in the Torah and what the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, such a person will be able to detect, even physically, a bit of a difference. Although physically it's basically the same, this person will be able to feel something different and to notice something different. But here again, the fact that you don't notice it is not necessarily proof that it's not different. Because the difference is not necessarily in physical form, just like in terms of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is not necessarily somebody that's going to look completely different, otherwise there would be no test. If a tzaddik had a sign, a neon sign on his head blinking, saying, I am a tzaddik, there'd be no problem in people finding them. The whole test of a Jew in this world is to be able to select, which day of the week is the holiest. Does Shabbos look any different than Wednesday? You speak to people that don't keep Shabbos, and tell them, what do you mean? Are you nuts? You don't observe Shabbos. Shabbos is a different world. How could you compare Shabbos whatsoever to another day of the week? And this person looks at you like you're nuts. Because to him, it's exactly the same. No difference at all whatsoever. Elamai, because a Jew is zeichet to believe in the Torah and have emunah in Shabbos and the holiness of Shabbos as described in the Torah, to some degree, a person is zeichet, a Jew can be zeichet to feel and sense a difference between Shabbos versus the other days of the week, between Eretz Yisrael versus another country, between the Kesel Ma'arovi versus any other place in Eretz Yisrael, between the grave of a tzaddik versus stama place. And so too, when a person is privileged to be in the presence of a Talmud Chacham, of a tzaddik, something like that, here again, a person looks physically, doesn't look any different. I see a lot of people walking around with beards and pants and shirts. That doesn't tell me anything. That's no proof. You see people that are totally irreligious practicing different religions that look the same. So is it the look you see here in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh? You see these turkeys walking around with the long robes and everything and the beards, and they look like Hasidic-looking guys, and we know that they're from the Greek Shmorthodox or whatever religion they're from, etc. So does the levush, is it the appearance that gives anything? The answer is no, that doesn't mean anything. He could be dressed up for Purim, and wearing this whole getup and everything, and that doesn't make him a tzaddik, and it doesn't make him not a tzaddik if he doesn't have it. And if a person knows this, they realize that this is a sensitive item, and a person has to beg Hashem to give us good eyes, that I should be zeichet to detect the difference between something that's holy versus something that's chol, between something that's pure and impure, between Eretz Yisrael, when we say in the bracha of Ata Chonin Liodom Das, Ata Chon Antonu, or Vatoideinu, that we say on Yom Tov, and we describe all the things that are different, Shabbos versus the 6 days of the week, Eretz Yisrael versus other countries, a Jew versus a member of any other nation, and all of these things, it's a major zechus for a person to be able to recognize this. And halavai, we should be zeicha to be able to detect which trip was what. Rabbeinu Zal only went to Eretz Yisrael one time in his life. He made one trip to Eretz Yisrael during his lifetime. Any questions?
Isn't the story of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Kodesh where his face shone and there was a physical difference, and yet it wasn't enough to show?
The answer is, it seems that at that time, even the kirun oyer ponim, even the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's face shone, was not enough necessarily to make him stand out enough that it shouldn't be a test. Proof is that we see it was a test. Proof is that we see after that there was still machlekes and problems and everything. So it seems that in that generation, the Dor Deo, the knowledge was so great, as his face shone, it's very possible that there were other miracles like this related to other people. The miracles that they saw with the Be'er and other things, to an extent where this didn't stand out enough for them to be able to take away their Bechira, to be able to take away their free choice. Also possible that doesn't necessarily mean physically. Possible. We have to see what the Mephoshim say, whether it was a noticeable physical difference or it meant also something else.
One night we learned that stones of Eretz Yisrael were heavier.
The Gemara makes a statement in saying that when the rabbis of the Gemara used to travel from Chutz L'Aretz to Eretz Yisrael, how did they know that they had entered, they were within the boundary of Eretz Yisrael? They would feel the weight to the stones. We know that the Torah says about Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Asher Avoneho Eretz Asher Avoneho Barzel, a land whose stones are like steel. They're heavier. The stones here are heavier than stones normally in other countries. However, again, that's not something that you can see. It's something that you have to pick up and weigh it and feel the difference that way. And even still so, I bet you I could show you a lot of stones in places in America that you couldn't pick up either. So that's not the proof, and that's not the real difference either. Rabbeinu Zal's implying that if you're looking specifically for physical differences between the Kedusha and the non-Kedusha, it's very likely that you might make a mistake, that you might not necessarily be able to detect the vast difference that you would expect. Note, remember how we started off talking, that these tzaddikim, before they came to Eretz Yisrael, when they had just learned all that's written about Eretz Yisrael, they expected, boy, we'll come to see what's in there, we won't believe our eyes, it'll look so different from anything we ever imagined. And they came there, and in a sense, there was a letdown in a physical sense, that they didn't see it being so, so different physically. They came to a realization that even without such a vast physical difference, it was still very, very different spiritually. That spiritual difference doesn't necessarily have to show itself in physical form. Would know that Eretz Yisrael is also not that different. The answer is, it seems that this was part of their sincerity, their pshitus and tmimus, before they had come to Eretz Yisrael, just in learning the Chumash so well, and the Gemara, and the Medroshim, and reading hundreds of pages of description that the Torah gives about Eretz Yisrael, praising it to the sky, in the biggest sense of the word. In a sense, a person tries to conjure up a picture in their mind. It's human nature, to a degree, to try to picture something in your mind. You picture something that's so far removed, according to how different it's described in the Torah, the difference between Eretz Yisrael versus that, no comparison whatsoever. So in a sense, they tried to conjure up a picture in their mind of what this looks like, and the picture they conjured up was something so removed from this world that it couldn't possibly be in this world. Well, 100%. For example, the Gemara says, just something I came across today, the Gemara says in Nida, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem waits, Hashem sits in waiting, watching when children are born, to see when the droplet is going to be brought forth, that's going to bring forth the neshama of a tzaddik. Hashem actually sits waiting and watching to see which tipa is going to bring forth the neshama of a tzaddik. Now you hear the Torah describing something like that, that it's as if, in a sense, the whole world doesn't exist. Hashem is ignoring everything. He's watching, just looking for this special, special thing to suddenly show up on the horizon. That's going to be a tzaddik. This type of statement, and many, many other statements, Chochma Sotom Toyer Ponov, the Torah says that the wisdom of a person lights up their face, and many, many other statements in describing what the Torah does to a person and how you could possibly misinterpret it in a sense and think that this is necessarily going to show itself in physical appearance. So that if I look at a person and to me it doesn't look like his face is shiny, it's not possible that he's a tzaddik. Whereas in fact it's possible that he could be the biggest tzaddik without the glow, and you look at somebody else who happens to have a shinier face and he's not necessarily the biggest tzaddik. That's the point that's being made.
Well, for me, everything that looks similar to what was in America.
The answer is it looks different to a child. If a person sees, if you would go to a different city in America that would look different from the city that you live in, if somebody would have told you, they would have led you on a plane, and they would have told you you're flying towards Israel, and they would have made believe 100% you're going towards Israel, they would have flown you to a different state in America, in the United States, to Louisiana or some other place, and you would land there and there would be signs up, Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, this, that. You wouldn't know the difference, right? You would know it, look, hey, this looks a lot different from the place that I lived in. You could think that that's it. Well, as Rabbeinu Zal is pointing out, that don't look, that the fact that Eretz Yisrael uses bricks and stones, and they eat food here, they have milk here like they have in America, that doesn't show that it's not anything special, you understand? Doesn't mean that you would expect to come to Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, the food is completely different, and the streets are completely, you know, there's no... And yet we see that certain similarities, and a person would say, hey, maybe it's not as special as I thought it was. The answer is, don't necessarily look for super vast differences, begashmias, physically, to show you how special this is, Baruch Hashem. The answer is yes and no. The certain descriptions that we find in the Torah, certain praises of Eretz Yisrael regarding its fruit, for example, we find that it is mentioned that when the Meraglim came here, they saw fruit that was extraordinary. And again, even today, there are people that will say 100% clearly that a certain richness that they taste in the fruit, in the vegetables here, can't be compared to what you have in Chutz Laretz. But at the same time, you take this person to certain places in California or certain other places, Lahavdol, where they have very, very rich fruit or vegetables, citrus fruits, etc. And you could tell him, you would bring in from there, Lahavdol, let's say, bring it into Eretz Yisrael and give it to him to eat, and he might not be able to detect the difference. So that's no proof. The Gemara does say that prior to the Churban Beis Hamikdash, there was a certain bracha in the fruit of Eretz Yisrael and other produce that it was noticeably different to a degree. But again, we're still stressing that don't look at that for the key. That's not, if you're going to use that as your proof, as your yardstick for measuring Kedusha, how tall a person is or short, how bright their eyes look, or that's not necessarily going to be your proof. Torah Kuf Yud Zayin. Rabbeinu Zal says, kishenichnas l'kedusha gavoya, this that we find that at times a person becomes disturbed when they enter into a high level of kedusha, kegoyin kishenizkarev letzadik haemes. For example, when a person is zoicha to become close to and attach themselves to a true tzaddik, ukiyotzei, or something like that. Let's say a person zoicha to make aliyah teretz Yisrael, a person zoicha to make some major jump towards kedusha, or azai daiko yikraloi mikra bilti torah chas v'shalom, and then just when they make a major step towards the kedusha, towards coming to the tzaddik, or towards making a new beginning in learning or something like that, a person suddenly decides they want to become completely different. They want to start coming close to Hashem in a very, very big way. And just then, suddenly, they get hit with a very big avera, a very big sin. Rabbein Zalhir gives the example of mikra bilti Torah chas v'shalom, which is one of the major, major types of sins. The question is, why should it be like that? Why should it be that just when a person decides to come close to a tzaddik, or just when a person decides to make some type of major jump towards the Kedusha, right after he does that, suddenly he gets hit with a bang, with a very, very powerful Avera, a very powerful sin. Kvar mavur mizeh b'mokom achar. Rav Nosson Zal writes, this has already been explained to a degree in another place in the Likutei Moran. Shekishe'odom nichnas l'kedusha, that when a person enters into the Kedusha, into the holiness, Mizgaber Olav HaYetzahara B'Yoyser, then the Yetzahara, the evil inclination, tries to strengthen itself against the person even more than it was before. Ki kol ma shenichnas b'kedusha yoyser, yesh lo kol pam Yetzahara chodesh godol mibitchila. Because each time a person rises to a new level of Kedusha, a new level of holiness, it's understood that they don't leave him his same pal that he had before, the same Yetzirah that he had before. If he has risen to a new level of Kedusha, he's given a new partner, a new buddy for this level, a new Yetzirah that's comparable to his level. The Gemara says this very clearly. The Gemara says, Kol ha-godol mechaveroi, Yitzroi godol himenu. Whoever is on a higher level than his friend, it's understood that his Yetzirah is also different from his friend's, which implies if your friend, meaning yourself, a week ago was on a certain level, and today, a week later, you're on a brand new level, naturally, the Yetzirah is also going to be on a new level. Your opponent, they're not going to give you the same schlepper that you were fighting last week. They're going to give you a new Yetzirah that's suited to you, custom tailored to your needs. Ayin b'likutei harishon b'siman ayin beis u'b'makomos acherim. Look in the first half of Likutei Moran, Torah ayin beis, and in other places where this point is discussed. U'be'emes, but here now Rav Nosson Zal goes into a different explanation based on Rabbein Zal's words. U'be'emes habilbul hazeh shtus. Rav Nosson Zal explains the truth is that this bilbul is just silliness. It's baloney. Kimamonashach, because either way, no matter how you want to look at it, I'll show you what the story is. Im yikroloi machmas hirhur, if this avera happened to him because he was thinking about something that he wasn't supposed to think about, during the day he was walking around and he was looking where he wasn't supposed to look or thinking about what he wasn't supposed to think, and this resulted in the fact that when he went to sleep at night, he had this type of avera happen to him, chas v'shalom, mi chayev bozeh. Whose fault is it? It's your own fault. So there's nothing for you to get all angry and upset. It's your own fault. You brought it on yourself, chas v'shalom. The emoi lehisrayim klal, and the person can't go nuts at all. The person can't complain at all. Me'achar shehu ba'atzmoi goram loy. Since the person themselves caused this. You brought it onto yourself. Period. That's number one. The im enoi machmas hirhur, and if it happened to the person, not because the person had bad thoughts during the day, azai bevadai enoi simen ra klal, then certainly it's not a bad sign. A person would say they see this happen to them, oh, it must be a bad sign. Must be a sign that I'm not doing the right thing. Baloney, not necessarily. Ki im hoya inyan ra, loy hoyu razal noismim oisai la simen yofe l'choyla. Because if this thing were 100% bad, the rabbis of the Gemara would not use it as a positive sign for a person that's ill, a person that's sick. As the Gemara says in Brachas, Shekeri Simen Yofel Lechayla, that this item is considered to be a good sign for a person that's ill, a person that's sick, and this item happens to them, Chas V'Shalom, at times, it could be a sign that the person is getting cured. So we see that it's not always necessarily any kind of bad sign. Ube'emes, the fact is, Adarabba, just the opposite of what you're thinking. Machma sheniskarev l'kedusha gavoya ma'oid, because the person has started coming close to something that's very, very holy. Machma zen is damenloy. That's why this type of thing is happening to him. That's why the sultan is rolling up his sleeves and really going to try to make a super effort at messing him up. Ki kol hamatzdik es atzmoy melamato, matzdikin olav adin melamalo. Because the Gemara says, any person who tries to accept upon himself a new level of religiousness, a person who wants to start becoming much more righteous than they've been before, then in heaven also, they declare this person as being more righteous than before, and they start dealing with him differently. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Uchiroscho Evrosecho, according to your fear of Hashem, that's Evrosecho, that's what brings out the Evro, the Kas, the Din, the Midas Adin sometimes comes out against the person also. Kemoisham Razal, Nimtza, therefore what do we see from this? Kishe'odom Matzdik Atzmoy, when a person decides to purify himself, to make himself righteous, V'nichnas Bigdusha, and the person enters into a new level of holiness, Medaktikin Olav Yoiser, then in Shemayim also, they're much more particular, they watch the person much more closely, and they're more particular about what he does and what he doesn't do. U'mis'irin olav kitrugim v'dinim chas v'shalom. And this can arouse din, judgment, and kitrug chas v'shalom, the complaints of malachim. Who does this guy think he is? Big shot. Now he woke up and he decided to become religious. Big deal. And sometimes when a person tries to make such a change, it arouses the wrath of these malachim in heaven, where they say, we'll fix him. He thinks now, after 10 years like this, 20, now he's going to become religious. We'll fix him. And these malachim go down, and they start shooting. And a person suddenly finds holes in himself. A person suddenly finds averos, big averos, chas v'shalom, happening to them, and things like that. Because they decided to make waves, because the person has decided to take a leap, to make a major jump towards Kedusha. Umei hishtalshulus hadinim nasa hayetzahora, kemuva b'mokamachar, b'siman ayin beiz kanal. And we know Rabbeinu Zal explained in a chapter in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph, Torah ayin beiz, that how does the Yetzahora come into being? It's actually the midas hadin, the power of the judgment of Hashem in heaven. When this thing spirals down to this earth, it manifests itself in its lowest form as a Yetzahara, as an evil inclination. The Al-Kain, and therefore, Ein Loi Lehisraim Klal Al-Zeh. It's forbidden for the person to complain about this. Sometimes such an incident will happen to a person, and he'll start complaining, what does Hashem want from me? Here I'm trying to be religious, and this is what happens to me. Forget it. Must be Hashem doesn't want me to be religious. And a person, Chas V'Shalom, will use this as an excuse to drop the religion or to drop the efforts they were making at coming close to Hashem. Ki adarabba. Rabbeinu Zal says again, just the opposite. Machmas shenichnas l'kedusha gavoya kazu. Because the person has just entered into a very high degree of holiness. Machmas zeh nizgara bo yayetzahora. That's why the Yetzahara is starting to battle with him and to fight with him. May hishtalshulus adinim anal, from this hishtalshulus, from this spiraling down of the midas adin in Shemayim. Again, what this means is that when a person who for a certain amount of time in their life, whether it be a week or a month or a year or 10 years, was not that religious, not that good, and suddenly such a person decides to make a major change, that's noticeable. It's something that's noticed on earth, and it could also be noticed in Shemayim. and it could arouse all the angels that were created through all the averos that this person has done throughout his life. Suddenly they see this guy trying to change his ways, and they know that that might affect them. Suddenly they go out to war against the person. All the angels that he created through his own bad deeds and everything, suddenly they say, hey, where are you running, buddy? Don't leave us behind. If you want to go anywhere, take us with you. And they start chasing the person, and they start trying to hold on to the person, not to let this person escape, not to let this person enter into the Kedusha. But the person is not supposed to take that as a bad sign. That's a good sign. That's a sign that they realize what's up ahead. They realize that this person is sincere in his wanting to change, and he's about to make a change, and therefore they're going to try to block him. But if the person will be solid and firm, and he'll ignore any things that he sees happening to him, if he sees himself doing Avera, fine, they got me this time, they're not going to get me again. And a person stays firm in his emunah, that he can do tshuva, that he can change his ways, there's no question that the person will succeed in getting away from these things. The alkein choshvu rabbeinu zechon avrocha l'nes godol, mashalayira keri l'koyin godol b'yom ha'kippurim. U'kemoshem razal, as the Gemara says this in Perkei Avos. This is why the Gemara says that one of the miracles, one of the major miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash was that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not see this item, this keri, rachmona litzlan. Well, the question is, it's Ritori Torah, what are you talking about? The Kohen Gadol is one of the biggest tzaddikim, and he's in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's Yom Kippur. What are you talking about that he's going to see this type of sin? It's a billion miles away from him. Because of the fact that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur was entering into the holy, holiest place in the whole world, there certainly was fire, artillery shooting against him from Shemayim. There certainly was heavy din and kitrug against the Kohen Gadol in heaven. Shemishom nimshach ha'yetzorah kanal, and we know that that's what creates the yetzorah. This midas hadin in Shemayim, this is what's the origin, the point of origin of the yetzorah. Al kein, therefore, nechshav lenes. It's considered a miracle. Mashenitzal ha'kohen gadol mimikra b'yom ha'kippurim. The fact that the kohen gadol was saved, was spared from chas v'shalom committing this type of sin on Yom Kippur. The ato. Re'ei v'hovein, and now look at this and understand. Eich yeval ve'lesot aminyan anal. How could a person let this type of thing mess them up? Let this type of thing make them fall away? The fact that they see themselves trying to come close to Kedusha, and suddenly they get whacked by the Sotan, and the Sotan takes a big bite out of them, and he gets them to commit a major sin. But that's not an excuse for you to give up and walk away. On the contrary, the fact that you see he's really trying to make a project out of you, obviously he realizes that you're a good catch. And obviously he realizes that your escaping from him would be a major, major, major nachas to Hashem. And therefore, he's willing to really try his best efforts to take his best punch at you to try to get you to give up, that kind of thing. But ignore it. Don't let it bother you. You just continue trying to do the tshuva, to pull out, and you'll see that you will be matzliach. V'chi yeshloi lehisraim al shaloi hoyoloi nes kemoi l'koyin godol b'yom ha'kippurim? Rabbi Nezal says here again, imagine, if the Gemara mentions this as a miracle for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, which person can complain if they see that this miracle doesn't happen for them? If they see chas v'shalom that this sin does happen to them when they try to enter into the Kiddusha, you have a complaint? The fact that Hashem... The Gemara mentions this as one of the biggest miracles, the fact that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not have this happen to him. Therefore, if a person sees that in their attempting to come to a high level of Kiddusha, this type of thing does happen to them, don't feel bad, don't get insulted, don't get nuts. Ignore it and keep trying, and you'll see that with the time you will be zeicha to get fully into the kedusha that you're trying to get to. Gam da, Rabbeinu Zalus said, you should also know Shelefomim yesh ba'odom tumo temuna she'ein yoidin lo shum tikin machmas shi temuna v'nisteres boy. There are times that a person could have a hidden package of tumma inside of him that nobody knows about because it's deep inside, it's covered up very well. V'alkein zehu toiva, and therefore this is a favor. Masheira lo kishemiskari v'lakdusha, if this type of accident, chas v'shalom, rachmono litzlan, happens to a person when they're coming close to the kedusha, ki yoytzeis mimenu hatumma hatmuna hanal. Sometimes this could be a sign of this hidden tumma that was inside of him that it's leaving. He's getting rid of it. Ki azai kishe yoytzeis yecholim limtzei lo tikin ma she'en ken mikoydim kishoyis hatmuna kanal. Because once this thing leaves the person, once it comes out, it's possible for you to find the solution for it, a tikin for it, which you couldn't find before it showed itself. Just like a physical illness sometimes. Before the infection shows itself, you can't really cure it. You can't do anything to help it. It's only once it shows itself that you're in a position to find the solution for it. Rabbein Azal says, this is how the Sifrei Kabbalah explains the reason why Avraham Avinu could not give birth to Yitzchak Avinu until he first gave birth to a Yishmael. V'chein Yitzchak hoiled es Esav v'acharkach es Yaakov. And so too Yitzchak Avinu could not give birth to Yaakov Avinu until Esav came out first. Why? Kedei lo hitzi hazuamo tchila. In order to release the filth first, to first cleanse himself of the slightest trace of impurity that was in him. Once he got rid of that, now what came out afterwards was completely pure. Just like a sink. A person tries a sink sometimes for the first time that hasn't used in a long time. You turn it on, first the water comes out brown and smelly for a couple of seconds. You let it run a little and then you have the clear, good water coming out. So too, lahavdil, in this case, in terms of kedusha, when a person decides that they want to come close to the kedusha, there are times that there's a spurt of tumah first, that the person first goes through, rachmal son, a disaster, a bad experience, a bad aveiro, or something like that, and that's this spurt of filth coming out before the person is able to enter into the kedusha clean, wholeheartedly. Kemuva, as is brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah. So this again is a very important lesson for us to know. These are all different tricks that the Satan uses to make a person think that Hashem is pushing him away, when really Hashem is bringing the person close. A lot of times we see in the Haftorah that a person says on the Tainus Tzibur, where the Pasuk says, Ki loy machshevoisai machshevoiseichem, V'loy darcheichem derochoi. Rav Moshe Zalman Likutei Halachos quotes Rashi HaKodesh there. Rashi HaKodesh says that there's a lot of times that the Yidden see Hashem doing things, which they think that this is a sign that Hashem is pushing me away. And really it's the exact opposite. And unless you learn this, you can misinterpret it. You could think that this is a bad sign, this is a bad indication, and really it's just the opposite. This is your proof that you're on the right track, that you're doing the right thing. Halavai, we should be zeicher, not to be amoratzim. The Gemara says, "V'loy amoretz chosid." If a person is an ignoramus, a person doesn't set aside time every day to learn chumash, to learn Gemara, to learn Shulchan Aruch, to learn Sifrei Chasidus, Sifrei Musar, Sifrei Kabbalah, Medrash, all of these things. You walk around and things happen to you, and you could misinterpret what's going on. You could think something is a good sign and it's really a bad sign. You could think that this is a sign that he's a tzaddik, he's got this shiny face, he's 8.5 feet tall, and it's, or he's 3 feet high, and it's all baloney. Unless you learn, if a person is zeichet to learn the Torah is miloshen hoiro, moire derech. The Torah shows us, it teaches us a path. It teaches us to be able to know what's right, what's wrong, what's a good sign, what's a bad sign, what's an indication that I'm coming closer to Hashem, what's an indication that I'm being pushed away from Hashem. And then in the zechus of being able to interpret these things the right way and to follow the derech ha-tshuva, we should be zeichet to get to see the coming of Mashiach, the binyan beis mikdash, b'mehera b'amenu, amen.
Amen.